title of the message tonight may sound like a riddle to you. The title is How to Be Free as a Slave. How to be free as a slave. I've chosen for Bible reading Romans chapter 6, and I understand that Pastor has been teaching in Sunday school out of the book of Romans, so if I say anything that you've already heard, that'll be the time to say amen.
Amen.
So in Romans chapter 6, now our man up there is going to start with verse 15 because that was what he was instructed. But let me do a couple of verses and then we'll read the text verse. If you'd like to stand and honor God's word, I'd like that. In verses previous to what we're going to read, Apostle Paul writes to the Roman church, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Under grace. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you're under grace. If you're God's child, you are under grace. So could you honestly say tonight, I am under grace? Could you honestly say that out loud? I am under grace. Now we'll read our focal passage. Since we're under grace, Paul says, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching to which you were delivered, and having then been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of your weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented yourselves members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, grace, if I may say so, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for these words. You may be seated. One of the first services that I had with you this week, I introduced to you an idea that maybe you already had, but I introduced to you the idea of what is your profession. Professionally, I am a Christian. Professionally, I am a Christian. Career-wise, there are a variety of careers in this very room. Career. The career should be that which supports your profession. So how can I live my profession as a Christian? I am supported by my employment. Whether it be self-employment or employment from some other source. So, what is your profession? Oh, you're quiet. What is your profession?
Christian.
Yes. You are that wherever you go, whatever you may do, you are a Christian. If you have had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. Now, all that mumble, the words that they are a Christian, aren't. Because some of their lives don't prove what they are. Amen. So tonight, what I want to present to you, an idea of freedom, a lot of things. Talked about freedom, my rights, freedom, rights is, should I have the right to own and carry a gun? Should I have the right to do this? Should I have the right to do that? Freedom. Are you infringing upon my freedom? Well, I'm here to introduce to you that freedom, the way that we think of in our society, doesn't exist. It's a fable. Because none of us are totally free to do anything, anytime we want to do it. If you don't believe me, let's see you drive 95 to 100 miles an hour between here and Tulsa. And the policeman pulls you over and says, "Do you know how fast you were going?" Well, yeah, I was going 95 to 100. I'm free to do what I want to do. Ha, 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 ha. Pretty soon, you're going to be answering questions in shackles. Hello? So, there's no way that we are totally free with the idea that our society tries to present to us freedom. I'm here to tell you tonight that you are a slave. And the only freedom, and this will be the last point if I ever get there, sir, the last point is going to be this. The only freedom you have is choice. Choice. Now let me do some walking through these verses that I read for you. I have them printed out on this piece of paper. It's easier to take with me everywhere I go than the Bible, so I'm a slave to laziness. Thank you for the chuckle. Thank you. I know you're awake now. Slaves to sin or slaves to the Lord? That is the question. I read that first verse that we did there, verse 15. What then? He's introduced the idea that we're under grace. We'll never get to heaven without grace. We'll never know the Lord Jesus Christ that we sang about without grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but we're under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves? What do you mean, Paul? Whether to sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? That's your choice. Now he's writing Christian people. He's writing people who have professed Jesus Christ. He's writing to the church at Rome. So he's not writing to lost people. He's writing to church people who apparently had heard, or there's been taught, or there's a rumor, or there's a doctrine being spread about that if I have grace, I'm under grace, I'm excused from the law, then I can live just any way I want to, because that makes grace more effective, and I still have grace regardless. I was talking to a fellow one time, and he said, you know, if I believe like you Baptists do. Now, a phrase that we used to use that I encourage people, don't ever use it anymore. Once saved, always saved. Don't use that, because those that have other doctrines, they've been trained to combat that. Once saved, always saved. But so I try to say we have security in Jesus Christ. Amen. Security. Jesus said, you're in my hand. You're in my Father's hand, who's greater than all. And then Ephesians said, wrapped around that is the seal of the Holy Spirit. So if we have Christ, we have Christ. He don't come and go. John writes, if you have the Spirit that lives within you, it says he comes to abide within you forever. How long is forever? So if the Holy Spirit comes in you and then leaves, you're lost again, then that's not a forever. So I know that we have security in Jesus Christ. We are under grace. Grace extends. There's no limit to grace. So when I mess up, and by the way, I do mess up from time to time. How many times today? I mess up. That's a chicken way of saying I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And don't you look pious, you sinner too. It just so happens that we are sinners saved by grace. And so the fellow said, well, if I live like you Baptists do, or I believe like you Baptists believe, I just go out and live any old way I wanted to. Now, wait a minute. If you have a genuine, life-changing experience with Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, your want-to changes. And if your want-to is still like it was before you claimed to be a Christian, my friend, you ain't got it.
Amen.
You ain't got it. Because your desire changes. Inside you changes. Holy Spirit lives in you, and I've expressed it like this before. You reach out into the world and you bring sin into your life. Unholy clashes with Holy Spirit. He's not going to let you get by with it, friend. And I can read you a passage over in 1 John that says, if you're a Christian, you keep on sinning long enough, God may take you out of here.
That's right.
Well, there's three words here that I want to call your attention to. Actually, two in one play. Three words here. Slaves. You get that? The last word that we read there I want to call our attention to is slaves. Slaves. We know what a slave is, don't we? If you looked into the Greek, and here I am speaking about Greek in front of a Greek scholar here. He'll correct me later if I'm wrong, but I think the Greek word is doulos, but that won't stick with you too long. Doulos means bond servant. It means you are owned. You're owned. Where's our idea of freedom there? You're owned. You're owned, and I'll show you how you're owned a little later on. Then there's that grace that we talked about, unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or their sanctification. Grace that wants to start with you at your spirit. spiritual birth time and grow you into the image of Jesus Christ. Grow you into someone that's qualified to walk into the throne room of heaven before the one that has the scars and be accepted. Grace only comes from God. God's the source. Grace, it's God's gift. Say, thank you, Jesus. And then the other word I want to call our attention to is the word under. I think we know what under means, don't we? Her head is what? Under my hand. But here it's talking about under authority, under some authority. What authority are you under right now? Whose authority are you under? Should be, absolutely. So, he says here, let me read that again. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's bond servant whom you obey? Here's the choices, whether it is sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But I have Jesus Christ, and he's promised me that if the Spirit lives within me, then I have everlasting life. And if I understand everlasting life never ends. Isn't that right? That's what everlasting would be, wouldn't it? Be no end. So if I have that, and God determined that I have that, and he's responsible for keeping that promise to me, I say it like this quite often: God the Father is the only one that has to be satisfied with the sin problem, and when Jesus died at Calvary, that satisfied him. So if I take on me, I allow him to put on me that righteous life of Jesus Christ, that perfect life of Jesus Christ, Father looks at me from that point forward and says, my child. But even those who have been saved by grace, still, God does not make us robots that we do everything that he wants us to do without any kind of question. He put a brain up here. That first computer that was ever made was made by God. And somebody said your brain is there not as a muscle to hold your ears apart. You've got choices. You got choices.
That's right.
Even as a Christian, I have a choice. What kind of a life am I going to live? Am I going to live one that lives up to my profession? What is my profession? Christian. So is my life going to live up to my profession? Or am I going to get deterred by some of the old Adam nature that I still have in this body? Sometime I think, God, I wish you to just save me and then zap me out of here. Anybody ever had that feeling? Just save me and zap me out of here. But he doesn't do that. Well then, okay, just save me and put me in a perfect position where everything is going to be. You understand the term hunky-dory? Everything's going to be hunky-dory from then on. No problems. But he don't do that. He puts me in a position with a neighbor who's the most cantankerous person, worse than me even. Most cantankerous person I ever got. I lived by a neighbor like that. And I prided myself. That's probably why God taught me the lesson. I prided myself. I got along with the old goat. The neighbor to the south of him, boy, he hated him. Neighbor to the back of him, he cussed him every time we got together. I even let him plant okra in my backyard, and he seemed delighted. One day he comes out and he jumps all over me because there is a hackberry tree growing up in the fence between our places. You know, who knows what a hackberry tree is? Hackberry. Something that you might not know is that the hackberry seed has to go through the digestive process of the bird before it's fertile to grow. Where does the bird sit? On the fence. He has exhaust problems. The seed is planted. The hackberry tree comes up. Where? In the fence. He comes out there, and boy, I mean, he was irritated. Wasn't any calming him down. Why did you plant this tree in my fence? Well, I was riding my lawnmower, and I saw him coming, and I thought, I'm just going to keep driving right on by. But no, dummy me, I stopped, and then I heard him. Why? You've heard that before. I'm not real sure I was real Christian. I was Christian to the point that I didn't punch him out. But I wasn't Christian maybe to the point in what I said. My response was, sir. No, I didn't say sir. I said, I tell you what, if I was going to plant a tree, I sure wouldn't plant a hackberry tree, and I sure wouldn't plant it in the fence. That's the point in time I started a lawnmower and continued my business. Why did I give that illustration? Because, yeah, not perfect. You know what I wanted to do? Four across the lip. Hard enough to go outside the other side of his head. You see, God puts us in situations that stretches our faith in him so that we have a chance to grow a little bit or grow a lot. Because he wants us to be like Jesus Christ when we walk down Gold Street. So he's working on you. You got problems, he's working on you. You got problems, he's working on you. Lost your job and you don't know what you're going to do, he's working on you. Amen. Got marital problems, he's working on you. Anybody here got a problem? He's working on you. He's going to see what choice that you're going to make. If you're going to make a choice to be enslaved by sin, anger, lust, whatever your weakness is, Satan knows it, and he's going to place an obstacle in front of you, and God will allow it. God will allow it. Because he wants to see if you really are a product of grace. What do you do? I read 17, verse 17, God be thanked that though we were slave bond servants to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that doctrine that you were delivered, and having been set free from sin. May I add a word there? From the consequence of sin. Set free from the consequence. What's the consequence of sin? Death. Death, the consequence of sin. Death actually means a separation. Do you remember Jesus' words on the cross? I spoke of them the other night. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Separation. Death, separation. If we die in our sins, we're separated from God forever. Hell may sound bad, and it does sound bad, and we don't like to think about hell and people going there, and I think we as preachers sometimes preach less and less about hell, but separation from God. What if God went away? What if he went away? I'm going to preach about that one night coming up here. Yet you obeyed from the heart that doctrine that you were delivered and being set free from sin. You became slaves of righteousness, set free to liberate, to exempt, to deliver, to make you free as you can be free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19 says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present yourselves members slave to uncleanness, listen to this, how he describes this. This is sin of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. Like the man that takes his first drink of alcohol and he's addicted. Over and over and over. Or the person that pops that first pill. Well, it won't hurt me much. And he's addicted. He's addicted. That first look that the boss man has toward his secretary, and he dwells on it, and it grows, and it grows in him until he's captured. Lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. You can't sin just once. It grabs hold of you and then it grows until it's out of control and you no longer look like your profession. Are you following me? You need to learn while you're young that every day, every decision, every direction you go must be bathed in prayer, yearning for the Lord to guide your steps that day, the next hour, next 30 minutes, next 15 minutes. This is given to you because, you see, we are slaves either to sin or slaves to righteousness. That's our only choice. Which one? And you see revival then, revival night after night, hearing some old geezer yell and stomp and spit and sputter and say two or three things that make you laugh. This is what it's a call for. Christians, if you're the very last person in this community whose profession is Christian, you need to stick with it.
Amen. That's right.
Doesn't make any difference what the other guy or gal does.
Right.
Doesn't matter. You're not going to go before the throne of Jesus Christ and answer for old Joe Blow or Sally Sue. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And here comes Loudmouth too. I'll try to be louder than he is. You didn't chuckle, that's all right. When you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Lester, who want to be that? Free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of now you're ashamed? You ever got anything in your past that you're ashamed of? This whole idea of forgive and forget is false. The only one who forgets your sin that you confess is God. God, but you better remember it so you can avoid the pitfall. Hello. Say amen. I'll move on. Yeah. Verse 22 said, having now been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Yes, Lord, that's what I want. That's what I want. Because the wages of sin is death, separation, but the gift of God is in eternal life. Where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Say that. The gift of God is in eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where? Now let me put the exclamation point on this with other scriptures. You're bought with a price. You're bought with a price. Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Then I'm going to read this from a modern translation. Don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Honor God with what? Honor God with what? My body. I think it's about time for wake up. So take a deep breath. Hold it. Hold it. Just before you pass out, let it out. Okay, now then, maybe we can make this last 30 minutes. Oh, me. Here's the substitution. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He, the Father, made Him, Son Jesus Christ, who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, committing to Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, You He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we were all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, rich in His mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together in Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come, we have a great future. In ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. Now, to the last point, say, thank you, Lord. The last point. Our choice is what? We're not free. We're only free to make the choice between sin or righteousness. We're going to be enslaved if we are serious about our Christianity. We will be enslaved into righteousness. Man, what better place to be? And when we are there, then we can have influence on that knot-headed neighbor that lives next door. Isn't that what we want? Why should we let Him bring us down to His level? For we can't get any higher in our level as bond servants to Jesus Christ. Oh, I hope somewhere along the line He saw Jesus in me. There's an illustration in the Old Testament, and I'm just going to summarize it. I guess you can bring it on the screen if you want to. Deuteronomy 15:12. Bond servant. Sometimes the Israelites would, if they owed a debt to a neighbor or to a person, they would sell themselves or give themselves over to their neighbor as a bond servant. And there's something about sabbatical year every 7 years. I don't think they ever practiced it, Lester. Did they ever practice the sabbatical year? there? I know they were supposed to. I don't read where they ever actually did. Anyway, on the seventh year, that guy that owned that bondservant was set him free. Set him free. But the bondservant had the choice. I like it here. I love my master and my mistress. I love this family. I love this place. I love the responsibility that I have here. Instead of going free, I choose for the rest of my life to be his bondservant. So they would take an awl. Now, I'm not sure just what point that metal came into existence to sharp. You remember, you could probably picture a punch. You know what a punch is, that you'd hammer it and make a hole punch. I'm sure back then it was probably made out of wood or bone or something. But anyway, he'd put his ear up against a wooden post, and the owner would take that awl and drive a hole in his ear. From that point forward, all the rest of his days, he was bondservant to his master. You know, I just have thought, Jesus didn't drive a hole in our ear. He took the holes himself.
That's right.
He took them himself. Amen. He took them himself. I owe him. I owe him. I owe him my life. And if I'm the only one left on the earth, Lord, please help me to be a bond slave to righteousness. Amen. What's your choice? What's your choice? I preached one night about happiness or satisfaction. Remember? Happiness or satisfaction. Deep down, satisfaction within yourself only comes when you're bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bunch of young people there. Some young people have already left us. But I would hope this young man here at his age would catch a glimpse of the idea, I belong to Jesus. And everything I do needs to point to him. Because the sooner you do, the less pitfalls, discouraging, times you're going to have. Oh, I mean, you're going to have problems, but you're going to have a satisfaction. Listen to me now, just a little bit longer. You're going to have a satisfaction in here that helps you go through the troubled waters, and you feel good about yourself. I know the Lord is with me. I am His. Your choice. Your choice. Never get too old. Make choice today. Today, I determine to be a bondservant to Jesus Christ. I determine that. I think it's probably something we have to determine every day, first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning. Lord, I want to be a bondservant today. I want to be a good bondservant today. And leave a trail. Wherever you go, leave a trail. Leave a trail. Are you loving Jesus today? Leave a trail. Leave a trail. Two young people at Reese's in Catoosa. Ask them, are you loving Jesus today? Loving Jesus today. They smiled. And I could tell by the look on their face, Brother Lester, they knew what I was talking about. Loving Jesus today. Leave a trail, because I'm a bondservant to Jesus Christ. Let's stand.